The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A young man named David said, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both bears and lions." Clearly, a shepherd's life was dangerous. He was called to risk his life to protect his sheep, to keep them from harm, to rescue them from danger. Jesus says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's not because sheep are smart or obedient. They certainly aren't. Give them a chance and sheep will wander astray, go their own way, put themselves into all sorts of danger. And they'll never even realize it until they're lost, stuck, helpless. It's the way sheep are. The reason they need shepherds. Good shepherds. You see, it doesn't do a sheep any good to have someone watching over him who keeps a sharp eye out, and when he sees a wolf stalking the flock, keeps the flock between himself and the wolf. And if the one watching the flock is not their shepherd, if he cares nothing for the sheep, if all he cares about is his own welfare, then the wolf can snatch and scatter and kill them at will. Only the shepherd can keep the sheep safe. Only the shepherd knows his sheep and is known by them. Only the shepherd will risk his life for his sheep. And only Jesus, the good shepherd, the best of all shepherds, lays down his life for the sheep. You see, that's where the illustration Jesus uses in our text falls a bit short. Ordinarily, a shepherd will risk his life for his sheep, but he won't literally lay down his life. If he did, the wolf would soon be gorging himself on mutton. A dead shepherd doesn't do his sheep any good at all. A dead Jesus, though, now that's a whole other story. Fully five times in the seven verses of our text this morning, Jesus speaks of laying down his life for the sheep.
as the shepherd of God's flock. He didn't come just to watch over and protect and guide and direct the sheep. That wouldn't have been enough, because their problem, your problem, my problem, is far worse than just being foolish or having lost our way. With the rest of mankind, we were, as St. Paul writes, dead in our trespasses and sins. Sin, death, and Satan had us inescapably in their grip, beginning all the way back when Eve was deceived, and she and Adam ate of the forbidden fruit. We were helpless before death's voracious appetite. The Lord had warned our first parents in paradise, "In the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die." Of all of the descendants of Adam and Eve, you need only two fingers to count those who did not die. Only Enoch, who walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And Elijah, who went up by a whirlwind into heaven after chariots of fire and horses of fire, separated him from Elisha. Out of all of the descendants of Adam and Eve, only Enoch and Elijah did not die. For generation after generation, down through the millennia, death reigned supreme. No matter how much money you accumulated, no matter how much power you achieved, no matter how much good you did, there was no escaping death. But Jesus had the answer for death. Though God's word clearly states, "The soul who sins shall die," and "The wages of sin is death," sinless Jesus laid down his life. He died for his sheep. And when death claimed him, it fatally overreached. It had no right to take Jesus and no power to hold him. He was innocent, righteous, totally free from sin and guilt. And so in giving himself over to death, he defeated death. Now, death has lost its grip. It cannot hold on to those who belong to Christ, cannot hold those who rely on his perfect life and innocent death for them. The shepherd gave his life for sheep who love to wander, and because of it, the sheep no longer need fear death. "No one takes my life from me," Jesus said, "but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down." Sometimes there is discussion regarding just what Jesus died from, whether from asphyxiation, the normal cause of death in crucifixion, or perhaps loss of blood, or maybe something else. Jesus' words, which we heard this morning, help us to understand that what the evangelists record happened on Good Friday, it is literally true. Jesus laid down his life. When he had paid the full price for the sins of the world, after he had endured being forsaken by his Father in order to suffer hell's punishment for you and for me, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. No one took his life from him. He laid it down of his own accord. When he had fully paid your debt of sin, he bowed his head and breathed his last, not because he couldn't draw another breath, but because he had accomplished his mission. All was done, except for physically dying. And so that's what he did. Using authority that he had been given, he actively yielded up his spirit. But not only did Jesus lay down his life for the sheep, when he had shed his blood to take away the sin of the world, he took his life up again. He laid down his life for his sheep, paying for every sin you had ever committed or will commit. But then he reclaimed his life for your justification. In his dying and in his rising again, he blazed a trail through death and the grave into eternal life. Thus, in a very literal way, he is with his sheep as they walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When you die, you will follow him where he first has gone. And as he has risen, he will raise you up as well. Just as your shepherd gave his life for you and took it up again, so when he gives you over to death, it is only so that he can take you to be with him in eternal life. The truth that Jesus laid down his life for you and then took it up again provides the assurance that death has no dominion over you. The assurance that your life is now in his hands. He whom the Father provided to be your Savior, who gave himself up for you, will now certainly graciously give you all things necessary for your life and salvation. He rules over the entire creation for the benefit of his church, the benefit of those who trust in him and depend on him. That is for your benefit. Having risen from the dead, he intercedes for you at the Father's right hand. Surely it is as John records Jesus saying later in this chapter, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand." The shepherd, your shepherd, laid down his life for you. Now, through his word, in his church, he continues to provide for you. He uses his word as a rod and staff to rebuke you when you begin to stray and to guide you in paths of righteousness. In the still waters of holy baptism, he cleansed you and marked you as his own, giving you new life, identity as a child of God, and thus an heir of heaven. Even as the evil one continues to pursue and threaten you, he prepares a table for you where he provides you with the medicine of immortality, his own body and blood, in and with the bread and wine of his supper. As you eat and drink, he forgives you your sins. He sustains and strengthens you in the faith. And he restores your strength to live as his beloved child and to love others as he first loved you. All of this he graciously does so that you may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Surely then, because Jesus is your shepherd, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And then, when your life here has ended, he will raise you up to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How could it be any other way? After all, the one who laid down his life for you and took it up again promised, I give you eternal life, and you will never perish, and no one will snatch you out of my hand. You have his word. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.